We here at Extreme Mayhem are sad to announce the passing of Curt Hennig, formerly Mr. Perfect in the old WWF, now of course WWE. He was at 44 at his time of passing. Curt Hennig, of course, Mr. Perfect in the WWF, one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time, and the entire Mayhem family would like to express our condolences to his friends and family.
Mike and Jeff.
Extreme Mayhem is now on the air, the number one wrestling audio show, with your hosts, the Extreme Icon, Mike Nagel, and the California Beachum, Jeff Meacham.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Extreme Mayhem. I am, as always, Mike Nagel, the Extreme Icon extraordinaire.
Yes.
And I'm joined by my co-host for this very special in-studio show, Jeff Meacham, Professor Junior, if you will.
That would be me, yes.
And we're joined by the owner, webmaster, CEO of themayhem.com.
And all around good guy. Sorry.
I guess.
Aaron, what's going on, Rick?
I'm doing pretty good, but I'm just very, very tired.
We just got back from Raw.
Yeah, Raw.
Looking forward to the show. We got Terry Funk on, but unfortunately, fans, he only gave us a time period of between 40 to 45 minutes.
Yeah, you told me he was really busy.
Yeah, this was early in the morning. We did this early in the morning because this was the only time he was available.
Right.
So, what we're going to do is, for you guys, we're going to call him. Actually, we're going to give him a call, I think, tomorrow.
Something like that,
and
yeah.
Set something up so we can get him back on for part two, I think either this week or next week.
Well, that sounds good, but before we get to Raw, I think we have some sad news to report.
Yeah, we were at Raw, and the first thing we saw come up on the Titantron was the passing of Curt Hennig.
Wow.
No idea what's going on. We were going by the Power 106 van, and we heard the guy mention something about rest in peace, Mr. Perfect. And
yeah, had no clue what that was about.
And then we get into the show, and right as Raw opens up, I don't know if those of you who saw it on TV, we don't know. We didn't get home in time to see the first part of Raw, but they had the in memory of Curt Hennig and Mr. Perfect, and you know, I guess he passed away today. We don't know what's going on, but Mike's got the official quote from one of our news boards, so Mike?
Yeah. When he was in his prime, he was probably one of the best wrestlers of the 80s and 90s.
No doubt.
Bret Hart, Curt Hennig, so many other countless matches.
We even mentioned it before on the show, you know, how that was one of our favorite matches of all time.
Absolutely.
He died earlier today in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, he's 44 years old. He was supposed to be in a show promoted by his buddy Jimmy Hart at the fairgrounds in Tampa State. And he was alive at 9:30 this morning. Mickey J, the referee, saw him, but a few hours later, he failed to show up, and they found him
to the gym, actually.
Yeah,
he was supposed to go to the gym, and his workout partner came to his hotel room, and he was out at 1 p.m., I guess. He passed out, and he never regained consciousness.
Yeah, he was pronounced dead a short time later after that, so we don't know.
Our hearts and prayers go out to the family of Curt Hennig. We know he has a quite a large extended family, his friends Bobby the Brain Heenan and the Hart family and everybody.
Absolutely.
So. I'm going to probably give Bobby a call tomorrow and see what's going on I don't know what you can say.
Just a huge shock, and we hope to get more information in the near future.
We just saw him like 3 weeks ago on TNA.
Yeah. You know, the really sad part about this business, and I think you guys will agree, so many guys go in their prime or in their younger years, you know. I mean, 44 is not old at all. And you know, we've got guys dying younger than that in this business. It's
who recently just passed away. Like we've had a lot of people just recently.
Yeah, in 2002, a lot of people.
British Bulldog, like unexplained.
Louis Fez. Well, he was old, but a lot of great names in 2002 passed away.
Yeah. Rick Rude.
That was
heart attack.
Yeah, it was 1999.
Right,
yeah,
but still, the bottom line is, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they're taken way too early from us, and it's just
it really sucks.
It does. It's a really sad state of affairs, but, you know.
And as we said, our hearts and prayers go out to the family of Kurt Hennig and everybody who knew him.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to give Bobby a call tomorrow and see what's going on. I'm sure he's a wreck, so.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of his own shit going, too, so.
Yeah.
Not a happy way to start, but we'll take a commercial break here real quick, and we'll come back with some more happy stuff. We'll get into Raw.
Yo, yo, this is NWA's TNA ex-champion, Sonny Siaki, and you're listening to Extreme Mayhem with Mike and Jeff.
Check out WrestleUnit.com. There you'll find the latest wrestling news, tons of MP3 themes, and adult-oriented women galleries for your viewing pleasure. WrestleUnit.com. We innovate, not imitate.
Check out the official website of Extreme Mayhem at extreme.mayhem.com. There you can listen to exclusive interviews with names such as Buff Bagwell, Bobby the Brain Eden, Mike Tenay, Jerry Lynn, Shane Douglas, Sonny Siaki, Chaos from XPW, and so many more. You can also find out the latest news on the show, as well as profiles of the hosts. Extreme.themayhem.com. We break all the rules.
Get the latest NWA TNA news, such as Raven challenging Jeff Jarrett for the NWA World Heavyweight title. Interviews and more, 24/7. We are 100% NWA TNA. Check us out now, onenwatna.com.
And we're back on Extreme Mayhem. We're all here in studio. All
right, we're getting down to business now with Monday Night Raw.
Absolutely.
From the Staples Center. Not a sellout. There was the big black curtains right by the camera side.
Well,
not that many.
No, you know what? It was a lot fuller than we've seen it as of late, so, you know, LA always draws a big crowd.
Hold on
so.
A second. Need a sip of Diet Pepsi.
Diet Pepsi, up.
Well, you drink your Diet Pepsi. Why don't you hand me a 6-point Pepsi?
A 6-point Pepsi.
Want a silly straw with that?
We don't use straws in this house.
Yeah, what the hell are you talking about? Who you been talking
to? This is the house of Slurp.
Ah. Want some chips?
I
want some beer nuts.
I'm the designated driver, guys. You won't hear me drinking. Sorry. Anyway.
Here you go. Want some, Jeff?
Nah, I'm good, thanks.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm totally happy.
Last chance. There's not much left in the bag.
Riff, that's okay, we'll pass. We'll just, I see we just get into Raw.
Okay, so what was the first match?
The first match was a dark match, not on Heat. My comment, it might be on International Heat.
It's not going to be on Heat. It's a dark match.
Okay. It was Sean Stasiak.
Stasiak? What the hell?
That was like so 4 months ago.
What the hell show were you watching tonight? Where the hell were you?
It was Sean O'Hare.
Yeah, you know, the guy that's not telling us anything we don't already know.
They're all so generic.
Yeah, shut up.
I know, whatever.
He fought Horseshoe from OVW.
Yeah, he was under his real name. We didn't catch it, though, so.
He won with an awesome Razor's Edge. He just Sean kept moving around with it.
Yeah. 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 It was a very nice way to open up the show with a decent match for a change.
Yeah.
Sean O'Hare got one of the biggest pops because he was the opening match.
Yeah, opening match, definitely. Yeah.
And from there, we went to a tag team match.
With our boy, Frankie Kazarian.
Frankie was there and teamed up with, I can't remember the guy's name, he was one of the UPW talents.
Who were they, Michael?
I remember Zulu and Keji Sakota, a friend of ours on the opposite team.
Frankie, yeah. They were opposite Frankie and
some hairy guy who didn't even get tagged in.
And whatever it was, Frankie ended up getting the losing pinfall.
Frankie lost to one of the most awesome moves I've ever seen live.
Yeah, that was like he picked him up for a slam.
It was a gorilla press into a power slam.
It was awesome. Yeah, you said you hadn't seen that. I've seen somebody do that. I can't remember who it is, but somebody.
It wasn't Goldberg's version.
No, but somebody one of the big three has done that. So I have no idea who it is, but I just totally forgot.
Oh, it was an awesome match, though. I was really impressed.
It was sweet.
Sweet. And then
everybody knew who Frankie Kazarian was.
It was cool.
Big UPW crowd.
Everybody was chanting for Frankie. The last dark match before we went to Heat was a non-title women's match between Victoria and Jackie?
believe that was made at Heat.
Yeah, it seemed like Jackie was getting booed.
No, but no, it was not Heat, because Finkel came out and said, okay, we're getting ready to go to Heat, and then the coach and Lita came out.
Well, I'm not sure, because Steven Richards pulled double duty.
Well, all I gotta say is Victoria's music is kind of getting creepy. Stuck in my head.
It is. It's creepy.
Running in my head.
Well, yeah, it's
running
it's,
by my
it's,
head.
You know what the song's
head,
about, Aaron?
Lesbians.
Yeah, just like what we saw tonight at Raw.
We're gonna get into that
action.
More.
A little bit later.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna get into that a little bit later on. And no, it wasn't on TV. So
let's just say Chris Jericho wasn't too happy about these hot lesbians in action.
Actually, you know, since we're getting to it, okay, you guys will notice during Jericho's match, he flipped off somebody in the crowd.
Yeah.
There were these two women.
If the camera's on him, unless it's on Jeff Hardy.
Well, actually, you know what? They showed on the Tron. The camera was on him when he flipped the girls off. Apparently, these two girls were sitting right around the front row, or like the first five rows or whatever it was, and they were getting this some HLA. And
they were standing up, making out, touching each other. It was awesome.
It was one of the best things I've ever seen.
They were actually confronted by the shitty security that WWE and Staples has. Three times. Be my guest.
Well, I was just saying, you know who the luckiest person that we know was in the crowd tonight? Chris Claus.
He was sitting
like two seats down, the lucky bastard.
You drunk son of a bitch, you get all the luck.
Hey, we're going to see you.
And you got your XPW sign on TV.
He did.
Again, and you didn't get kicked out this time, so congratulations, Chris.
Well, it's because he wasn't as drunk this time, and he wasn't making a fool of himself.
He never makes a fool of
himself. I know, I'm just giving Chris a bad time. He's a cool guy.
Except Aaron, remember when he wore the Burger King crown that one time? And he wore that one mask, and he got kind of drunk.
Oh, jeez.
I believe Aaron Aguilar, who was in a dark match tonight, ripped off his crown.
Yeah, I believe so.
So it was Aaron Aguilar. Who did he fight on Heat?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, he was against, oh, shit.
This is going to be a
Richards?
Tough one.
Steven Richards? Wasn't he Steven Richards?
I don't know.
It might have been Richards.
Yeah, I think it was Steven Richards and Aaron Aguilar.
I don't know. You know what? We're just so pumped up from the actual Raw, we're kind of forgetting Heat as we go along here. And we don't
actually, what went on after Raw is what I'm still
thinking. Oh, yeah, but that's okay. Don't say anything. We'll get there.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we just skip Heat since nobody watches it anyway?
Let's get right down to business.
All right, let's do that. Okay, the first match of the show...
Bischoff came out first.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
Bischoff came out.
That's
first.
True. Bischoff made his way down, and he kind of made a plea to the LA fans to support him, and we kind of booed him out of the fucking building.
And
basically.
Then he kind of made a firing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
good old
Yeah. He walked up after we booed him out of the building. He walked up to the ramp and fired JR because JR hadn't come through with him for Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He was fired.
Before we move on, Aaron, I just have to say thank you for picking up this new variety of 6-Point Pepsi. It's very refreshing and tastes really good.
Right on.
Cheap plug. Okay. Anyway, the first match of the night, Test defeated Christian. We all saw what Christian did last week to... you know what? We're watching Raw. I just remembered something. ZZ Top was also there. Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top was there, as was... A very nice guy. We met him as he was walking up to get some food.
Mr. Rob Reiner.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him in to get food.
They wouldn't. A big director celebrity star like that wasn't allowed in the back, so he had to walk up by us to get food. He probably bought from the same stand I got mine. Anyway.
He was very nice, shaking hands and everything, meeting people.
Yeah, anyway, he was a really cool guy. He was really cool, and his kids got some airtime. Oh, actually, no, it wasn't on the air, but his kids got some in-ring time. We'll get to that.
So, Test defeated Christian.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say the only reason Test got a pop was because of Stacy.
That's because, unfortunately for Test, nobody gives a crap about him unless he's got the hot chick with him. Like when he was with Stephanie.
And she was definitely something else.
Oh, she's always something else. She's my favorite besides Trish on Raw, no doubt.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's just do a quick match rundown and give our opinions, and then we'll talk about the segments that stood out in our minds.
Okay. All right. Well, unfortunately for Booker T, he was not down with the Brown, but he did defeat D'Lo tonight. Teddy Long came out and tried to...
Theodore Long.
Oh, God. I'm not down with the Brown. I'm sorry.
You racist pig.
Theodore Long. They're calling him Theodore Long. You're not using the R for some reason.
Well, he's one of the greatest managers of all time. Managed Butch Reed. Hacksaw Butch Reed.
You know
and
what?
Ron Simmons to a tag team
Doom.
Title. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that this whole storyline is working because they didn't seem to really give much a reaction to him.
Well, I wasn't reacting very much. I was just commenting that Teddy Longstreet looks like Peanut Head from back in the day.
I mean, they didn't even pop or boo him. They
no.
just were quiet.
Anyway,
But so Booker T was over like no... He was over like Rover.
His pyro rules. Oh, by the way, what was that? Sulfur or what?
Oh my God, like, they used new fireworks stuff,
the
I believe.
The pyro smelled nasty.
It was like bad smell. This is the first time, like, yeah. Fireworks have given us a bad whiff.
Yeah, I was tearing up in the car on the way home.
Oh. Yeah, let's see. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, and I was the only one in the group that saw Spinner Rudy, thanks to some very misplaced signs by the crowd. God damn it. I was the only one that actually got to see the Spinner Rudy because I got off my ass and looked. So, it was a decent Spinner Rudy. It was better than not as good as the ones we saw at the house show. But
he beat D'Lo Brown rather quickly with the scissor kick, axe kick, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that'd
pretty
be
pretty decent match.
And then Riz's favorite match was after that. We saw Jazz.
This was our second women's match of the night, people.
So, you know, Riz,
please
was,
shoot us, get us out of this misery.
Exactly. But you know what? The Victoria Jackie match was better than this one, I thought. Because Jazz and Molly Holly, it was just boring.
Jackie fucked up a couple spots though.
She fucked a really big
Remember
one off
when
the top
she
rope.
Went, yeah, she went to the top and she slipped.
I don't think neither of them look like superstars. They just look Victoria's very small
hot.
In person and
Victoria's
just,
hot.
The crowd wasn't getting into it.
But it
the crowd
matter,
was into Victoria.
Victoria was all right.
Victoria's hot. Molly's hot. And no, her ass is not that big in person. I don't know where the hell they get the big junk in the trunk from.
She's got a nice ass.
She does. She has a nice ass.
It's just because she's very short.
But it doesn't matter because Jazz beat her up anyway. Beat her up really bad.
Really bad?
Really bad.
Tee-hee-hee.
RVD.
Nice!
Hey, you can't use that.
The XM slogan, we spread the news while you spread
the news. Hey!
Damn it!
You almost got it. All right. RVD and Kane remain a lot of victories and one loss. They defeated 3-Minute Warning for the 968,000th time.
Five-star frog splash that Rob Van Dam got amazing height on. It was awesome.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he got amazing height, and he did the turn in midair like he did last week. Chief Morley was not able to save his job.
Spike Dudley whooped his ass all by himself.
No, that's not what happened.
Oh, wait, that's right. It was handicap, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 3-on-1. We saw a Dudley Dog, we saw a 3D, and we saw Chief Morley go through a table. Thanks.
He
for
got that. Wood.
Yeah,
those
he got
guys
wood.
Were over.
They hell yeah, they were so over. They were one of the biggest pops.
People talk about the Dudley boys like not having the fanfare like they used to. That's bullshit.
Oh, the crowd was so hot the whole match.
They were.
And they're tables. Such the consummate professionals that when they did the heel thing, everybody booed them and hated them, but, like, everybody loves them again. They know how to get over.
Exactly. They were the fourth biggest pop behind 1, 2, and 3, who was for, well...
We'll get into it a
we'll get into
bit
that.
Later.
Batista squashed Tommy Dreamer.
Well, Tommy Dreamer came out of the crowd, hit some Singapore cane shots,
but that was
and then
it.
Just got drilled with the Batista bomb.
And then Booker T tried to save him from an attack by Batista and Flair, and then it basically ended up being an Evolution beating on the two guys, Booker T and... Actually, just on Booker T... Until,
holler if you hear me.
Exactly. Avid.
Damn it, Rift. You burp like a monkey.
That was you.
Anyway.
No.
Okay, Papa Pump came out to say...
I have manners.
God damn it. I can't even get the results out.
All right, Big Papa Pump beat the hell out of the Evolution, including a gimp Triple H who
Cripple
powered.
H, as you call
yeah,
him.
Yeah, Cripple H.
And he got cheered.
No, he didn't.
I think he got cheered.
Hunter or Steiner?
Steiner got cheered.
Steiner got cheered.
Big pop.
Hunter got a little bit. I cheered Hunter. I don't give a crap.
That's because you're Mark. Will you stop that, Aaron?
Well, somebody has to do it.
That is unprofessional, man.
Very unprofessional.
We need to clean up this cesspool.
And in the final match of the evening, which was a decent match, I thought Chris Jericho defeated Jeff Hardy. What did they do?
Jeff Hardy hit 2 swantons, couldn't get it. I mean, Jeff Hardy turned face earlier in the night. I don't know what they're doing with this kid.
I
liked his heel turn, and I don't know what the hell they're doing with him now.
Well, all I know is Michaels gave him some chin music last week, and you know...
he got the walls this week.
Well, no, I'm saying he got chin music last week, and tonight they were both all smiles with each other on the back and backstage.
And what's the deal? No HBK for the live crowd.
That was some
bullshit. He was backstage smiling.
Doesn't matter. We didn't get to see him out of the crowd, but we did... No, that's okay. I won't spoil it. Anyway, big story of the night, of course, was Eric Bischoff going to get fired? And after he fired JR, McMahon came out, gave Chief Morley the chance to retain his job, of course.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan Coachman joined the team, didn't he, after JR got fired?
Well, I was going to mention that because that was one of the dark points of the night.
Well, I don't know, the King by himself or him with somebody to filter him?
I'd rather the King by himself just because he's, you know... just cause
they should have got the Shat out there.
The Shat?
Ernest Miller.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'd rather have the coach.
He's on SmackDown team, so. Yeah. You know who I would have liked out there? Oh, wait. Oh, I don't
Tony
have a,
Schiavone.
I don't have a toilet around. Hold on. Damn it. Yeah, Tony Schiavone. That would have been cool. Or Jesse Ventura.
Anybody but freaking Coach, man. I mean, Coach belongs on Heat with Lita. So.
Well, Lita got a big pop for
Heat. Yeah. Lita
That's
got a big pop.
We
forgot to mention that for Heat.
And I think she has, like, a new remix of her music, too.
No, she's using that since, like...
Music Volume 5, Aaron.
No, it sounded different.
The Forcible Entry, you mean.
Although I haven't watched
Forcible
Entry. I haven't watched Heat in a
and
long
she's,
time.
Well, so. No, actually, she was using that at WrestleMania last year, too.
Well, I told you, I don't watch Heat, so I don't know.
WrestleMania, not Heat there, buddy boy.
Whatever.
Hang on, WrestleMania 18, when she fought in the Triple Threat match with Jazz and Trish. She used that music.
Don't remember.
Anyway,
after Bischoff fired JR, he was called out later in the night, and McMahon did indeed fire him. And Bischoff was cleaning out his office, and JR apparently saved Bischoff's ass, because at the very end of the night, McMahon came out. And was going to ask the new GM. Then JR came out, and everybody thought JR was the new GM. Mike even said it might be JR originally.
And whatever.
Yeah, that's cool. And then McMahon said no, it wasn't. Then Eric Bischoff came out again. JR tells McMahon, Stone Cold is signed. Stone Cold's going to be at No Way Out.
Damn.
Oh,
hell yeah.
So, you know, we're thinking, damn, we're not going to see him. It really pissed me off.
No, I never said that.
Well, I was pissed because I didn't think we were going to see him on Raw.
You just have to have a little faith.
He wasn't on Raw.
He was not on Raw. Anyway.
That didn't change what happened afterwards.
Ha, ha, ha. Moving on from that.
Don't hit him with your hat.
I can hit him if I want to.
Hat sack?
It's my damn hat.
You cunt sack?
With an H? You hat sack?
Okay.
That was just lame.
That was very lame. The whole deal there was just lame. Anyway.
Steal my word again. You'll be sleeping with the fishies.
Bischoff said... McMahon said that Bischoff earlier had said, I'll do anything to save my job, and he tried to induct Bischoff into the Kiss My Ass Club. Bischoff refused, and he said, fine, you're going to join the Get Your Ass Kicked Club, because at No Way Out, in one corner it's going to be Eric Bischoff, and the other corner, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And no chance hits, and we're out.
We're out. That's how Raw ends, but that's not how our night ended, kids.
No.
Oh, no.
Not quite.
Not by a long shot.
You see, Bischoff got back on the mic and tried to convince Mr. McMahon to do something else. Don't make me face Steve Austin. Don't make me kiss your ass. And McMahon walked up to the ramp. I thought he left. It turns out he just took a left turn and went to the announce booth and just sat down because the fucking glass hits.
And we thought it was just a promo.
And all of a sudden, out of the ramp, Stone Cold returns.
Holy
shit. Say the word. Shat.
Nah, this is a family show.
Okay, well, I'll say holy shit.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
I mean, Brad Fisher listens to this show.
Who's Brad Fisher?
You know.
Oh, yeah. Paul Bearer. Yeah.
Uh-oh, his real name's been revealed. Oh, God help us all.
Well, at least Buff won't give out his phone number.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Stone Cold returns. I tell you, I have never heard a bigger pop in my entire time of watching.
It was amazing.
It was phenomenal. Bischoff took off his coat and got in a fighting stance, like a karate stance. And then Chief Morley came out to save his boss, but he got a stunner for his troubles. Bischoff took off like a bat out of hell. Austin downed about 30 beers, but he downed about 2 beers worth of liquid.
Old Milwaukee.
And
6-point Pepsis again.
6-point Pepsis, exactly.
We thought they were 6-point Cokes for a little bit.
Yeah,
that's what
I
thought. Because they were in red cans.
Yeah.
He was out there for like 30 minutes.
He was out there for a long time.
Awesome. He stunnered Morley like 4 or 5 times.
He stunned Morley. Hit him in the head with the beer at the very end, and then Jericho came out and tried to kiss his ass and make fun of us.
And they did all the what chants?
The loud what chants.
The loud. They were so
loud. I have
loud.
Never heard what chants that loud ever. So
even when Austin was there.
Even when Austin was exactly. Yeah. But then and then Jericho got a stunner for his troubles. Austin messed with the cameraman a little bit like he always does.
He gave everybody at ringside a beer, like the crew for WWE.
Him and JR drank a beer.
Him and JR drank a beer, and then he walked out, and Lillian Garcia bid us all a good night, and we walked out. Ran into Chris Claus. I mentioned him earlier.
And you passed out some XPW flyers.
I did.
You got
confronted by Staples Bitch Force.
Yeah, exactly. Staples Center Redcoats. By the way, Staples Center, I go to King Games 20 times a week. Kiss my ass, you don't like the way I do shit. Anyway.
I think their policies need to change because they're not fan-friendly at all.
Hell no, they're not.
They confront the lesbians just because they were kissing.
Yeah, unlike... And you know what? That is sexual discrimination.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
They were just showing a sign of public affection.
Exactly. What's wrong with that? Oh, another DP for Rift. No, not Dr. Pepper. Diet Pepsi. I just felt like...
Cold beer. Diet Pepsi?
That's what he's got.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's a Diet Pepsi with a silly straw.
Exactly.
I wish.
Anyway. So, all in all...
So, it must be 3-point then, because it's half the calories.
All in all, I was very glad that the Henning thing was at the very beginning, because it was a great night after that. Hell of a fucking night.
Well, that's not nice to say.
I said after the...
You know, in addition to Bobby Heenan, we should call Buff Bagwell, because he was pretty close friends with him, too.
That's right. Okay, well, we should have called him earlier. If I'd have thought about it, I would have called him.
So I'll tell you what.
Anything else about Raw?
It was probably the best live show
I've been to. It was a great show overall.
I'll tell you what. Let's take a commercial break and come back with a little bit of news. And then after that, we'll get right to Terry Funk.
Hey, this is Alan Funk, former WCW Queeley. You're listening to Extreme Mayhem with Mike and Jeff.
This is 3strandwrestling.com. When it comes to wrestling news, columns, and interaction, nobody beats it. SW. Ah! Check out 3-Strand Wrestling today. Can you honestly say there's a better wrestling website?
Attention webmasters, join the Mayhem.com's top site list and increase traffic to your website. Visit topsites.themayhem.com today and give your website the promotion it deserves. No guns, no knives, just chairs. But on second thought, themayhem.com has everything! Wrestling news, columns, world media, and of course, the babes and the celebs. Themayhem.com, wrestling's home.
Alright, we're back on the show. We got a little bit of news for you, and then we're going to get right into Terry Funk.
Absolutely.
So, without further ado... let me get some news for us.
Big story that we finally got to hear over the weekend, the official release date for the Tori Wilson Playboy magazine. She has already done the photo shoot.
Wait. Drum roll, please. March 28th.
March 28th, 2 days before WrestleMania.
And hopefully she doesn't follow the same path as the last two WWE divas to be in Playboy.
No, you know what? I don't think she will, and I'll tell you why. Because Joni and Rena had an ego going in. And Tori's always come
out. Not according to Vince Russo.
Well, that's...
They tried to hold Sable down, damn it, because she was the second biggest pop behind Austin.
That's exactly why they tried to hold her down, because, you know, they didn't want anybody getting that big of a pop.
All right, whatever. So, you guys, the 28th...
Photo shoot is done.
Yep. So, those pictures will be online sooner than later. Come to themayhem.com to get your nude... pictures of Tori Wilson. Cheap plug.
You want another cold one?
Yeah.
Lob them up.
All right, I got some exclusive news from themayhem.com.
All right.
These are rumors. Don't go to the bank and cash these.
Well, some of them are rumors. Some of them are true, though.
Yeah,
don't cash this check. It might bounce.
Yeah. Like a certain guy from Orange Park, Florida's, right?
Ooh.
Nice! Oops, I'm not supposed to say that.
Yeah.
If anything, you say booyah.
That's copyright Jeff Meacham, 2003.
2002, but that's okay.
Well, the current plans for Dustin Rhodes after the fiasco last week with his hand and the circuit box, a la Mick Foley,
yeah,
is to make him a Tourette's syndrome freak.
Yeah. Basically, he's going to talk for a few seconds... pause and then talk some more, and he's gonna be.
And he's gonna just spout off like Deuce Bigelow and like start cursing out of nowhere.
Exactly, it's gonna be nuts.
Nice.
Exactly. Sorry. Just Incredible has signed with XPW, and I love it.
We're gonna see him. We're gonna meet him. We'll get him. We'll get him exclusively on the show the 28th.
Absolutely, and he's gonna be debuting XPW the 14th and the 15th for My Bloody Valentine,
and the night after.
And so say the 14th and the 15th.
Right, My Bloody Valentine, and then the My Bloody Valentine, the start of the tour. I guess that's the first show.
And also over that weekend, I think on the flyer, it's actually Coney XPW. It said Friday.
Don't you still have any flyers?
I don't have the flyers on me.
Didn't Staples take those from you?
They tried to.
They confronted you in a physical manner.
They confronted me.
They asked you your name and if you had any business within the premises.
You did not have any credentials, sir.
No, I didn't. And you know that's their tough shit. Anyway, what I'm saying is
that was clean.
That was just straight up. Straight up talking to. Anyway.
In the words of Angel, right?
In the words of Angel, exactly.
Mr. Clean.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Anyway.
Nice.
On one of the...
Man, this is an awesome show. Wow, yeah.
You're wasted.
Yeah, he's wasted.
Hey,
that's
fucking slander and libel right there, according to Ron Sima, El Camino Real High School's greatest teacher of all time.
You might as well start freestyling at this point.
Stop the pain. Please, help me.
Yo, my name is Mike.
No!
What's up with this insight? Matt Boone and John Hartnett, you both are out of sight. You both suck. You both are nothing more than two dense hockey pucks.
Mike Nagel.
You suck.
Mike Nagel is a bagel.
Yo, I'm ill, so why don't you chill because I'm white and it's already night. What do you want me to say? I mean, we're not near San Francisco Bay, G.
Oh, man.
I'm white. What do you want me to say? I can't freestyle. I can't
do this
shit.
I'm about to spit out my,
I'm not Big Vito. I'm not that 14-year-old John Hartnett. I don't know. I can't pay rap tutors to teach me how to freestyle. I'm sorry.
Now I'm losing all my bodily functions now.
Can we please move on to what I was trying to get to about Justin Credible?
Or FBW, I know I'm Justin Credible.
Please.
And that's not just the coolest. And that's not just the best. And I know that's not Justin Credible. Why? Because I'm Justin Icon.
Well, at the same show that Justin Credible is going to be debuting on, they're going to have a battle royal. The winner of that battle royal determines the number one contender for here in Los Angeles for Shane Douglas. So.
Hey, Jeff, these are some rumors from XPW that I heard.
Okay.
There's a rumor going around that there's going to be a big surprise when XPW debuts in Pittsburgh, I believe.
On March 8th?
The news is, and I don't want to piss off the people at XPW, but... there's word going around that Masato Tanaka and Mike Awesome may be with the company.
Oh, shit.
That's crazy. Big. Well, that's exclusive.
To here on XM. All we know is Justin Credible apparently has a vendetta against somebody in XPW, and he's going to make sure he handles it on the 14th. So, interesting to see what happens on Valentine's Day.
So there you have it, exclusive of XM Radio.
Exactly.
Extreme Mayhem. We're not that fucking satellite company.
Yeah, damn.
Damn right.
All
right,
let's get to some more news from themayhem.com.
What else you got there, Pops?
Well, the reason Stone Cold Steve Austin was not used on television tonight is simply due to the fact that WWE finally smartened themselves up.
Exactly.
Why give away Austin on Raw that he's not...
They might as well send the fans home happy. Which they certainly did.
Yeah,
hell
did.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, it was smart because they did not advertise Austin for this Raw, and it would have just been a waste, and he wouldn't have gotten the rating that they wanted.
Right.
However, in promoting tonight on Raw that Austin will definitely be at No Way Out, it greatly increases the chances of having a great buy rate for No Way Out.
And because word of mouth's going to go around, people might expect Austin to show up next week because he was there tonight.
I doubt he's going to be on TV.
What I'm saying is people will start spreading rumors and they think, oh shit, he's going to be there because
he
was on.
Maybe he'll be on after the show goes on.
Maybe ticket sales will start picking up now.
Yep. Well, where are they next week? They're in Columbus, right? Ohio?
I believe so.
Columbus, okay. Ohio. They had King of the Ring there last June.
They had King of the Ring there the night he won King of the Ring.
That
Austin 316 was in Columbus, Ohio.
I'm
pretty sure.
When Austin 316 was born?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought that, no, that was Milwaukee.
The home of the beer.
You're talking about the 1996 King of the Ring.
Yeah.
That was Milwaukee.
Oh, well, my bad. Sorry, y'all. Whatever.
No, you're talking about the one where Bret Hart won. That was Cincinnati.
Bret Hart. No, that was Dane.
Yeah, that was Dane.
Whatever, it's Ohio, it's all good.
Columbus was one of the King of the Rings, I know that.
Yeah,
anyway.
That was the last King of the Ring, 2002.
Whatever. That was headlined. You know, let's quit stalling, let's get right to Terry Funk. All right.
That sounds like a good idea.
Is that it for news?
That's it for news, rumors.
Thank you for joining us, Aaron. We're going to be right back with our interview from earlier this morning with Terry Funk.
Stay tuned.
This is Dan the Beast Severn, three-time Ultimate Fight Champion, and you are listening to Extreme Mayhem with Mike Nagel and Jeff Meacham. You better listen because I know where you live.
Newsflash! Wrestling Edge has got the latest news, the hottest women gallery,
and the most interactive discussion online at weforums.com. Wrestling-Edge.com. Get the inside scoops with an S behind the curtain.
Check out the official discussion forum of Extreme Mayhem at extreme.themayhem.com/forum. Submit feedback on the show or discuss the latest in wrestling with Mike Nagel and Jeff Meacham. In addition, check out the rest of the Mayhem.com fan forums with over 30,000 members and counting. Remember, the Mayhem.com fan forums, often imitated, never duplicated.
Want live coverage of wrestling pay-per-views? Check out ppv.themayhem.com, where you can find out the latest on every wrestling pay-per-view, past and future. We got it all covered.
And we are back on Extreme Mayhem, Mike Nagel and Jeff Meacham, and we have a very special guest for all you listeners today. We have a person whose name is synonymous with the term wrestling. We have a true legend in the business and an icon as well. We have the great Terry Funk. How are you doing today?
Doing great. I don't know if you can say all that stuff about me or not.
I think it's safe. As far as our listeners are concerned, we've gotten a lot of questions for you. They all
thought as being, and I guess I am a true old fart. I don't know about being an icon or anything like that.
Well, you know, most of the guys we've had on that have been in the business for a long time said the same thing. You know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm old. I don't know how much of a legend I am or anything. We always tell them, you know, Bobby Heenan, you know.
Well, that is a legend there, Bobby Heenan. I'll tell you that for sure.
Well, Terry, you're a legend yourself. I gladly say that. That's, you've been an inspiration for so many people in this business, and, you know, I'm sure more people coming up right now, and it's just a pleasure for us to have you on, because, you know, we don't get a lot of the guys that have been in the business for a long time.
Yeah.
Often enough, so it's good to get, you know, different perspectives, and we're very glad to have yours.
Definitely.
First thing I want to ask you, which I ask everybody, is, you know, a lot of our fans haven't been able to follow your whole career because, you know, they're, you know, our age or younger or whatever. How did you get your start?
They're under 50.
Well.
Right, go ahead. I'll get off that crap there.
That's okay. No, that's fine. I understand. How did you get your start? What was the whole background of you getting into the business?
Getting in the business was really not that difficult for me. It was very difficult to break into the business at that time, even more difficult than now, but it wasn't difficult for me because I was a second-generation wrestler.
Right.
And my father was in the business before me, and that opened a lot of doors that weren't open to the ordinary guy that just wanted to become a professional wrestler. It was I had a route to travel. My father had wrestled all over the country and knew the promoters throughout the United States at that time. He had a lot of individual promoters.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of the door was much more open for me than it would be an average person getting into the profession.
Was it you that got in the business first, or was it your brother Dory?
My brother Dory got in the business before
okay.
I did.
Okay.
And that also helped it out and opened it up because he did a great job whenever he got into it. And he also opened up doors and made different territories accessible to me.
Right.
It was awesome to see Beyond the Mat because one of the things I was looking forward to was seeing you. You were a key focal point in that documentary. A, have you seen the whole documentary? And Do you still keep in contact with Barry Blaustein today?
Both those questions I can answer yes. I have watched the documentary. I think he did a good job on it. And I do keep in contact with Barry to this day. And also keep in contact with Cactus. Haven't seen Jake since the day it was made.
Yeah, that's been the general opinion. Barry even said at the end of the video he hasn't seen him since it was made, but he's been out of jail and things like that.
I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, I read Roddy Piper's book, and he mentioned the sickness of the business, where once you get in, it's like you're hooked. It's like a drug. Would you agree? It's like that once you get in the business.
I would very much agree with that.
Okay.
Put it better. It's even worse than a drug. It's a love.
Yeah.
We love drugs. We love certain things. We love women, and some of us love our professions. And whenever we do have an end, we can also hate women, hate drugs, and hate professions.
Yeah.
But the loving them is wonderful. And whenever you truly love them, and it has its shortcomings in some ways. For instance, it's hard to get rid of, hard to quit. It's a habit-forming thing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. It's hard for me to quit. The one thing is that drugs cost money, and wrestling you can make money in.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of difference, It's better than drugs. That's what we should say. It's not like drugs. We should say it's better than drugs, because you can have a hell of a time doing it, and you can make money. You can make some money drugs too, I guess. I don't
know. Couple.
But just love the business, Really do, and
absolutely,
and it is addictive, and it caught me a long time ago, and never has let go, and never will, and my wife even understands that.
we saw her talk a few different times on Beyond the Mat, and that was, she kind of basically said, I've given up all, I've given up on him quitting, he ain't gonna quit.
That's it, and I am fading, and that's not bad. It's just to fade away, It's not a bad way to do it.
No, because...
It's much easier that way on you. I believe it is. Whenever you just kind of just fade away.
Yeah. Well, someone who's, at the stage of your life and your career that you are, to this day, when they mention the guys like a Ric Flair and a Hulk Hogan and, guys like that, they do mention Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes and everybody like that. So, rather than, going out there and going in front of a big crowd and getting all emotional and weepy and saying, this is it, I'm walking away and stuff like that, you don't have to...
Well, I've done that before, but it doesn't work that way.
Exactly.
It's not that easy.
No.
And people just don't realize it, And if you'll notice kind of on the independent scene now that you don't see me that much anymore, and there's reason for that. Going down gradually. I'm weaning myself.
Right.
I'm slowing down gradually and getting out of it. I've got a shot up there with Todd Jordan and the Blue Mini, I think, in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
And Todd talked me into it, and I told Todd, I said, Todd, I don't want to do it again. I really don't, I said, Terry, come on up here, you get to thinking about Philly, and you love the town, you love the people that you wrestled before in up there, have a lot of fond memories, and, well, who am I going to work with? Well, you're going to work with Sabu, well, that's a bell ringer for me right there, because I got such respect for that boy.
Yeah.
And, pretty soon you say, all right, one more time,
Yep.
But the times are fewer and further away, and And I really do. I want to go up there to Philly and see Todd. And, you know, I mean, it's all a bang. You know, it is. It's seeing Todd and seeing my friends from up around that area and fans. Being in Philly itself and being with Sabu, it's a pretty hard thing to turn down.
Yeah.
You know, pretty hard thing to say no to.
Absolutely. Of the various retirements you've had, was there any particular one where you really thought, this is it, I'm done?
Out of all 200 of them, I can't think of one of them.
Oh, no, that's cool.
No. Actually, truth of the matter is, in 83 is I retired in Japan the first time.
Right.
And I really truly meant that to be. And this is going to sound very foolish to y'all to do something like this, but I had my ranch paid for, and I had $45,000 in the bank. And I thought, well, I can make it the rest of my life on that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. And that wasn't the sole reason I came back. You know, a lot of times you can make excuses, too. And I just enjoyed and loved the business. But, yeah, it's always been a great way for me to make a living. You know, you get a moron, it's a great thing to do is have something that you can... You know, I would like to take that back because I don't think that way, really. I was being a bit silly there, but, you know, it's a great way to make a living that's just a hell of a gig. It is, you know, you can stay in shape on it. You can be as creative as you want it to, you know, and that's why I eliminate that moron stuff right away in my profession, because I've never known a moron to make a fortune in this business. A few through the years. I don't want to name them, but but they had to have a genius in the ring with them to go ahead
right,
and help them
exactly.
out.
Right, exactly.
And I don't claim to be a genius either, but I mean, I think a guy's got to be pretty sharp
right.
to be a good wrestler.
Was there a point early on where you thought of doing anything else?
Where I what?
Where you thought of doing anything else besides wrestling early on?
Oh gosh, I've been chasing cows out here for years, you know, on the ranch. I mean, it's not like I don't do anything. You know what I mean? I've always done other things constantly. You know.
Right.
Truly have. I've been in the movie business. You know. I'm a retired artiso. I retired. I have got my. I'm a SAG carrying member, and I am retired from that profession. But pretty neat deal to get a check at the end of every month and
you
have
go.
Your hospitalization paid, your medical paid.
Right.
That's very important, and I wish we had it in our profession. I think it'd be a great time for the guys to get it, but it's never going to happen.
No,
you know,
Mike.
Speaking of Sabu, you were involved in probably one of the most infamous ECW matches with him.
Yeah.
The Born to be Wired match.
Absolutely.
What was that like?
It was extremely dangerous. And sometimes we do things that are dangerous. I don't know why. Well, I do know why for some reasons, because I can get exposure throughout the United States, throughout the wrestling world, not the world I'm talking about, but the wrestling world. And at that time, we went into a barbed wire match because it was something unusual.
Right.
And, to create an interest in it, we were trying to further ECW at that time.
Yeah.
You know, and make it certainly certainly not a household word, but make it a known word in the wrestling world, you know. So we went into that match. And anytime you get in a barbed wire match, they're extreme. It depends on the two performers that were in it, but it was the most brutal match. Probably the most violent match that I've been in. I was in another wire match in Japan with Pogo where he broke his neck.
Yeah.
And that was a no-rope trap wire match or something like that. It was really stupid that he broke his neck in about 4 minutes. But the one in ECW was just Sabu got all the respect in the world for me. I looked across the ring and get about a, and you know, maybe the cut gets longer through the years, I don't know, but I'll swear it was at least 6 inches long, and it was just totally wide open. And he went ahead and just called for the tape and continued on, you know.
What I found most amazing about that match, Terry, was that 5 days later you were back in the ring with Sabu as well as Shane Douglas defending the title again.
Right. Yeah, and did you know that I nearly got hung on the outside of the ring of that match too. The wire got around my neck.
Right.
That was another very bad point of that match, you know.
True.
And you know, I wonder how Shane is doing with his, you know, with XPW up there. I wonder if they are doing any business. You know, I was just thinking about the match I had up there with Shane Douglas at the XPW, you know.
Right, right.
Well, went up there and went out the back, and there was a severe laceration on my arm there that they had to sew up and everything.
Right. Funny you mention them, because we've been announcing the last few shows they're finally coming back to LA. They're going to have a two-night gig here.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they are. They've got a February 14th and 15th, they've got another weekend out in Philly. Then they come home, then they go back out on the 8th of March for a show in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to come home real quick, you know, party here in LA, and then head right back out. So,
are they doing okay out in LA?
You know what,
Or?
Yeah, well, what I did was, I was part of the first day of ticket sales,
uh-huh.
And, I was in the office at the time to buy the tickets, and the phones were just ringing off the hook for tickets.
That's good.
People are so happy they're coming on, man. I mean, they've been gone for 8 months.
Yeah.
You know, sure. since that first show with you and him as the main event.
Yeah.
It's been, they've been just dying for them to come home, and now they finally are, so everybody's really jacked up. So,
well, that's good.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be an XPW show, and based on what I've seen, you know.
Who do they have on top?
Shane's still the champion. Shane's still the booker.
Chaos is the TV champion.
Chaos is still the TV champion. The only title that's changed hands basically since you were there is the tag team championship. They've added that to their roster,
yeah.
So. But other than that, the champions are the same pretty much.
Yeah.
Supreme's still the King of the Deathmatch champion. And
yeah, you don't know who he's wrestling, do you?
No, they don't know who. Actually, yeah, I don't think they have the card for the 14th and the 15th yet. They're kind of.
It's probably going to be Vic Grimes again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He's been the most persistent challenger for sure.
Yeah.
So, do you see yourself?
They run a very good show.
Yeah.
They run, a much better show than they're given credit for. XPW.
Right.
They take a few bangs and a few kicks and a few punches from the sheets and stuff around, but by God, they're an alternative.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Remember, Jeff, I convinced you to buy Go Funk Yourself, and you were happy.
Yes, he did. I was very pleased with that show.
What a match with Sabu again.
Yeah, you know what? You two put on such incredible matches when you guys get together. I'm so happy I got that. I just got to get a hold of that barbed wire match Because I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
Well, I might coast on this one.
There you go.
I've got to ride the coast, you know. One of these days, it's going to truly be my last match. And I'm going to just coast right on through it there.
There you go.
Just kind of just stay off those. No big bumps, no anything. Just kind of just take it easy. One of these days, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take my night off.
Has she or anybody contacted you about coming back to XPW for like a grand send-off? Or?
No, I think we had a lot of problems since that thing with my arm.
Oh, yeah.
It's just an ongoing situation that I'd rather not talk about.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, you know, you mentioned your first retirement in 83, but, you know, most of...
You can't be too happy with 22 stitches in your arm, can
you? Well, no, I can understand that completely. I understand why you wouldn't want to talk about that. Totally cool. You mentioned your first retirement in 83, but a lot of our fans, our age fans, will remember you came to the WWF in the mid-80s as you were under your name, Terry, and then your brother Dory was under the name Haas Funk. What was your time like with the WWF the first shot around?
It was a tough time. Whatever I say about that is I retired in 83 from Japan, which I retired all the way around, and I made my return with WWF at that time, which was in 85.
Right.
And I say it was tough times. It wasn't tough. It was wonderful times because guys hadn't been making that kind of money before, you know. And
right.
In the 85 or something like that, I think I made a little over $400,000. Well, that was the most I ever made in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was a huge sum for the year, and that was my entire year, you know. With W, and that included Japan in it also, mm-hmm. Or wherever, you know, I always go, I don't know exactly, but I always go 100 other places besides where I am, you know.
Right.
and not really that many, but whenever I was up there in New York, it was at a time that they felt that they were on a big surge in the wrestling profession. Vince did, and so did everybody, and it was kind of a grab the money deal, and it was by that grab the money deal, I mean they were going to run as many shows as they possibly could.
Right.
And keep the guys as busy as they could before the bubble broke. Well, they didn't realize that the bubble was going to be still around 15 years later.
Yeah.
And that's what was going on, and I think one time I did a 60 days in a row where it was just a phenomenal amount of days, you know, and that's whenever it really gets, you know, tough. I was talking about tough before. I was talking about the schedule of the thing as being tough, you know. Very tough situation.
Right.
To make that kind of time. And it took its toll on the boys, you know. It did, and it took its toll on the people that were working up there for them, too, you know, but, you know, a lot of them faded and went, you know.
Yep.
Some of them died, even, you know.
Very true.
But that was the nature of the business at that time. And if you wanted to exist and make that big money then, which had never been around before, that was the way to do it, you know. And, I partook and was very pleased that I was able to do so, and blessed enough not to be terribly hurt in that time, really truly mean this, that made better money for Vince than I have anybody else. You know, I mean, not anybody else, but I mean, through the years, he's always been a great guy on a payoff.
Yeah,
I haven't made better money for him than anybody else, but I've always felt he's been fair with his people on the money, and somewhat fair. But big money, you know, I mean, it's compared to what you can make somewhere else, so it was a good opportunity. Let me take that back again. What the Tooth Fairy? It was the greatest there was at that time. But
yeah,
it still wasn't too fair. We could have been a lot richer.
That's a good point. That's what Roddy was saying in his book, and when I talked to him,
he was the greatest there was at that time. Yeah.
You mentioned still talking to Cactus from time to time. I want to ask you about the current WWE product, because as we know, I don't know, you know, he has been made the offer to come back, you know, just kind of, you know, in and out making appearances. He won't do it because he's not happy with the current product right now with WWE. What's your opinion on their product?
That's the problem. You cannot, the product is not, you know, you're talking about the product. Let's get straight what we're talking about now. Is I'm not talking about the product. I am talking about, you're talking about the product as far as the, what they're putting out as far as too much violence or anything else like that, you know, or too much sex or whatever you're talking about that.
Right.
I'm talking about a product different ways. I look at a product differently than what most people do. I'm talking about what Cactus looks at as a product and what other people do. Whenever I look at the product, I'm not happy with the product up there because it's old. And whenever I say the product is old, it's the same show. The show has, I'm not talking about the wrestlers. They've got as good, if not better wrestlers than they've ever had. It's got a look about the show that follows through that has become old, is what I'm saying.
Right. The old.
I am not knocking anything individually. I'm not knocking the announcers. I'm not knocking the sets. I'm not knocking anything. But it has a sound to it. It has a smell to it. Maybe this makes it better understandable. It has a odor about it that is the same. It's like you can tell you're in a. You know, you can tell you're in an apple orchard when you're in an apple orchard. You know,
yeah.
By the smell of the blooms and the blossoms at a certain time of year. Well, wrestling has that same odor that comes on every week. And that same look, if I'm explaining it properly, I don't know. And it's the same every week, and it's been the same too long. They're going to have a great deal of difficulty ever coming back up to what they were. Because their product, what they are, what the sound is, what the lighting is of the show, what the look is, has become dated. If that makes sense. I'm not talking about announcer, I'm just talking about the look, everything. It's been the same too long. The way the intros are done, the way that the ramp is done, the way that everything, and I truly believe that they will never reach the ratings that they did before. They will come up, and they will go down, but they won't reach the big surge they did.
Right.
But I truly believe that another organization, somebody had the money, could take the same boys and steal tomorrow. They could steal the Rocks, and steal the Stone Colds, and steal the HHHs, and steal all of these different boys, and put them on the other show.
Yeah.
It was truly done, and they would produce a phenomenal rating.
Right.
So you tell me, you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally understand.
And the one thing that makes it that way is because, as I've always been preaching, it's the only product in town. It's the black 1918 Ford.
Yeah.
You know, if Ford Motor was the only one, that's what we'd be driving. We might be going 45 miles an hour, though. We've been speeded up from 20. And we'd have narrow tires, but they'd still be little bitty tires all the vehicles. They might have introduced a white vehicle by now if they didn't have competition.
Yeah.
You know, and I truly mean that. And that's the product has to change. Not you know, it's got to change. You know, the model hasn't changed.
Yep.
It's still the same model it was 4 years ago.
Very
you
true.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's very true, and, you know, I think most fans will agree that WWE needs a big upgrade and soon in their model, so
yeah.
Hopefully they'll get it together.
Do you think it was a bad decision for Vince to buy WCW?
I think it was nothing wrong with it at all. If he would have been, if it would have been done a bit differently, you know.
Right.
That's been the general consensus.
It would have been very good if he would have left it down there, and if he would have had the nerve to turn some of his people loose on it and become true competition among himself, just like the AFL and the NFL. True competition,
yeah,
would have been a healthy thing for him.
Well, you know,
you understand what I'm saying. He can own both of them.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you look at the AFL and the NFL.
Yeah,
they do business, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And they the reason they do is because it's a highly competitive situation.
Right.
Truly competitive.
Absolutely.
What you have to have in wrestling, you have to have a truly competitive situation or the people don't sense it. How long was it that just, we don't even know, but subconsciously the war between WCW and WWF lasted several years. How many of us were watching because of it being a war?
Yeah.
And we'd switch back and forth. Well, what the hell is going on the other side? Well, shit, that isn't going to make it. Well, that is. Boy, that's good. Well, wow, man, they suck this week. You know, but it developed the interest. Well, you can have the interest among yourself if it's true competition. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was one of the biggest flops they ever did. If they had just taken the time and not rushed into throwing WCW back in our faces as a storyline, as an invasion, it could have worked.
And stomping it.
Yeah.
Brought it back in, you know, stomping it, chewing it up, and spitting it out before you did something with it.
Yeah, exactly. They totally made
it. But that's Vince.
Yeah.
The problem I had most with Invasion wasn't just WCW, but it was like they killed off ECW, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that.
Sure, they butchered everything in.
Yeah.
Brought it all together and showed you which is the best.
Well, yeah, I mean...
But, I mean, that was the attitude before they even were going to try to do anything with that, and that was the attitude of it. So it wasn't on an equal basis. It wasn't on anything. They just stomped it, chewed it up, spit it out, and then expected to continue with the name, but it didn't work.
No, not at all. You mentioned the high ratings point for the WWF and WWE, whatever. And you were part of the company during that time when they were starting to get the upswing as Chainsaw Charlie.
We were hurting very bad. I sat down at the table with Vince back then, and he said, we just can't do it. We just can't beat them because they've got more TV viewers than what we do.
Right.
And it didn't even, he had come very close to, I think that was a low point. You know, and it wasn't a high point because I just happened to come up there at that time, you know.
Right.
It wasn't because I was up there or anything like that, but at that time the table seemed to turn. Tide seemed to finally at least reach up, you know. And it just kind of settled, you know.
Right.
And, evened up a little bit whenever I was up there, and then kind of began to go his way, which it did. But that was, and it happened quite quickly. It wasn't like a long period of time for it to happen.
No.
You know, I mean, it really was. And he had a great deal of things to look at, and ECW was one of them, and he was marketing their product at that time. You know, but it was fresh on TV, and the hardcore was a lot fresher than it is this day, you know. And that's because we've abused it, and he has abused it by doing it too much. So, you know, so we have to always look for something different.
Yeah. Well, you know, the last time...
Listen, let me tell you something about Vince McMahon.
Okay.
I can sit here and I can say this and that, and I can say Vince did this wrong and did that wrong, and that's easy to do. What's hard to do is to run about 20 years of friggin' television every damn week and make them different. And take my hat off to him for that. You know, it's not as easy as... I mean, I can sit back here and I can be right. By God, try to make 20 years of perfect TV and you're not going to do it. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's not an easy task, you know, and it's a whole lot easier for me to jump on him. You know, it truly is. You know, it's easy for me to jump on his back, you know, and say, well, you should have done this differently. And he should have. But it's pretty easy to be a Saturday morning quarterback for the Friday night game, you know. And I'm not saying I'm doing that, but he's made mistakes and will continue to make big mistakes. I'm not a great favorite of his. I don't want to. I'm just being as honest as I can.
That's fine.
But, you,
like,
you have to give the devil, and he is, you know, I mean, you have to give the devil his dues, you know. But that was, you know, whenever that thing started changing, that tide started changing, it changed for a reason. And partially because of that. Partially because he had a bunch of guys that wanted to be together, and it just happened to gain a little camaraderie amongst them. And WCW is, was in a turmoil at that time. And the reason it was in a turmoil is because, you know, in life you have to either be for the, you know, who are you for? Are you for the preacher? Or are you for the church? You know, that's what, you know, you could ask them in WWF that time, and by God, we'd have, the majority of us would have stood up and said, we're for the church. And if you would have been in WCW, you could ask them that question, and they said, we're for the preacher, brother. You follow what I'm saying?
Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely. I got you.
And that was the main thing that got them back up and on their feet again. And it was just because they had a good click and a good mix of guys that were willing to bust their ass up there then. And that's why he made it back up on top. They didn't want to be number two, they wanted to be number one.
Right. Well, on their way back to the top of their ratings war with WCW, you and Mick Foley, Cactus, had a match on Raw where you ended up both in the dumpster and then thrown off the Titantron by Billy Gunn and Jesse James. What was the whole creative process behind that? What was the whole story behind putting you guys in the
dumpster? Well, evidently there wasn't too much creative process because some dumbass put a 2x12 in the son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That certainly made me walk with a limp for a long time.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, it was a bad deal. Couldn't get out of the damn thing if I'd wanted to. It hurt so bad. In fact, I think I did come back out of it, do something, but I was in a great deal of pain at that time, you know.
Yeah, I'm just...
Another creative process on that was that we wanted to do something that hadn't been seen. Something fresh, something new. Try to make the people out there talk, you know.
Do you think it was a mistake for them to have you come back, you know, right away at the end of the night in your hospital gown and the IV hooked up and try to beat up the Outlaws after the fact? So they...
Oh, I thought all of that was, but I was just going along with them. They wanted to do it.
Right.
But, basically because they hurt so bad. That was partially it. You know, and that's truly it. You know, it's, I didn't think it was either one way or another. You know, the one thing is that... just was in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And what would have been a very simple thing became a very difficult thing to get up, go back. Not like I was dying, but damn sure it didn't feel good when I was walking back out there. You know?
No.
And I thought it was a bit on the foolish side at that time, you know. And, see, I don't think Vince really understood the hardcore situation. Hardcore is not a laughing matter. You know, it's a very good thing when you have a good hardcore match. It's not funny. It's something where guys are busting their ass and going the extremes for the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to remember. They need to remember that hardcore is not funny with the band. It's not a humorous situation. It's a situation where guys bust their ass. It's not supposed to be funny. Guys bust their ass and give their damnedest and give 110%. If something happens in a ring, it's laughable to the band. It's not meant to be funny with the guys. You follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
Completely. Mike?
Terry, I was just wondering, what was your favorite promotion to work for, and why?
Several of them were my favorites while I was there, or else I wouldn't have gone to them. there's a lot of truth in that right there.
Yeah.
Favorite promotion to work for, of course, the promotion that we had here in Amarillo, Texas. It was our promotion.
Right.
But favorite promotions, I always loved wrestling for Eddie Graham. I thought it was one of the best. It was the best promotion. Eddie was never the best payoff man, but he was the best wrestling promoter in the United States at that time. Did a wonderful job. And can't say enough about him as far as being now that was probably the only wrestling manipulative genius that I've ever known. Was Eddie Graham. He was as good as anybody you ever saw about it. He put together a promotion that people respected throughout the state, throughout the South. Anywhere that it showed, they respected that it was actually feared. I know that nobody else wanted him putting that tape into their area. You know? And Vince McMahon certainly didn't want it coming. Senior did not certainly want that tape coming up there into his area. And it did for a while, and it just grabbed those people up there. They just loved it. A great, great tape, the way it should have been done. Not too excessive and not too little. You know. And I always talk about the basics of wrestling and put together a guy like Gordon Solie on the commentary. Quite a show.
Yep. Well, we know your brother, Dory, runs the Funkin' Conservatory.
Yeah, he's got a good school down there.
He's wrestling school. Have there been any thoughts of you opening up your school or, you know, joining in with him?
I don't want to do that. I really don't. Just don't want to spend that much time with it. Junior has a love for the business, you know, and he really does. He has a love for the guys within it. I have the love, too, but I truthfully don't want to. You know, I think my brother would be happy training a wrestler to the last day of his life. I don't want to. I want to catch a fish. You know, I mean, it's your loves is what it is.
Right.
And I love the business, but I don't love being, or you know, doing it, having to be involved with it 24 hours a day.
Right, absolutely.
I've reached a point in my life where it's phases and stages, like old Waylon Jennings says, you know, and I've reached a different stage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then 20 years ago, it was, yeah, hell, that's been a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
And now, no, it's not for me. But it is for him, and I understand that, and he loves it. that is his, you know, that is his, you know, that is his time on the beach when he goes into that school of his, you know. That is his hunting in the mountains.
Yeah.
You know, it truly is. He loves it that much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, I got to go eat breakfast. My wife is hollering at me.
All right. Well, we want to thank Terry Funkton for being on with us. It's, you know, it's truly a pleasure to have you on. And we want to thank you for taking time out of your day. We know you're a busy man, and as are we. I was just glad we could get our schedules correlated.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you guys stay out of trouble.
We'll do our best, Terry.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks very much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That was Terry Funk, formerly of the WWF, WCW, NWA, just name him. He's been there.
Basically any part, any promotion you name off, that's where he's been, so. One hell of an interview. I was so glad to do that. That was fun.
I'm sure we'll have him on again. Maybe do a part two.
We could do a part two, just hopefully it won't be at 6 a.m.
Alright, so I guess this edition is over.
That's it. XM, and we want to thank Terry Funk again, and if you want to find out where Terry Funk's going to be appearing, you know, he mentioned the promotion with Todd Gordon in Philly. I don't know if Terry has an official website or not. We didn't get a chance to ask him, but there might be something on him on Dory's website for the school.
Right, right.
Just look up Terry Funk in the search engine. He'll be there. just don't get too crazy with the search engine.
Alright, for Jeff Meacham, this is Mike Nagel saying, stay tuned, same extreme time, same extreme channel.
Extreme Mayhem is now off the air, be sure to stay tuned, same extreme time, same extreme channel.